شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. On the way here, I was telling the brothers that I didn't expect this many people to be here tonight because of last night. No, I'm not trying to be funny. I actually didn't expect that many people to be here because we've gotten a lot of calls of a lot of people complaining, and I understand why they were complaining, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me for offending anyone when trying to present the truth, and may Allah forgive me if I go overboard in some examples. May Allah forgive me for that. And may Allah forgive me, and then you, for some of you have been offended by the constant laughter and joking. They say that it is not becoming a person who seemingly has some knowledge to laugh and joke and have the people laugh and joke the way that you and I have been doing, even though I gave just minutes ago someone some proof that some of the people of the past who were better than all of us sitting here combined used to do it. I'm not going to justify it by the actions of those people of the past, even though sometimes they used to do it. And with that, I'd like to say that inshallah, once again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ghafoor, al-ghaffar, al-raheem, al-ra'uf, al-wadood, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me. And then I ask you to forgive me if in any way whatsoever I've offended anyone. This is the way I've been even before Islam. I'll try my best to do better and be more serious, inshallah. And I'd like to say lastly before beginning that those people who had the criticisms, those people who had some critiques of what we've been saying, I would also, not tit for tat, like to remind you also to try to stick to the Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way the companions understood it and practiced it, because some of them, some of the people who have come to me, and they may think I'm badgering people or making or nitpicking, but some of the people that have come to me and have said these things, and they are justified in their opinion and their critique and their nasiha, which is a part of the deen, to say it. But some of the people have come without nitpicking, and we don't see any obvious signs of Islam on them. So I'm now advising you, those people, the minority, the very large minority who critique what I have been doing, I accept it. Once again, may Allah forgive me, but I would also ask you to try your best to stick to the Quran and the Sunnah. As our Shaykh, when he was asked one time, one of our Shaykhs came to America, and we asked him, what do you have as advice for the Muslims in America? And he said two things after a very beautiful speech. He said, number one, instead of saying, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana ila al-Islam, praise be to Allah, the one who guided us to Islam, he said you should say, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana ila al-Islam wa sunnah. Praise be to Allah who guided us to Islam and the sunnah. Because many people are guided to Islam and they're not guided to the sunnah. And he said the second advice that I will give you in the land of kufr is to, as best of to your ability, with all your level best, have the outward appearance of Islam. The outward appearance of Islam. And I'd like to add to that before we begin, inshallah, and I'm going to all but promise Tonight I will not go over the limit, inshallah. I will try to stay within the time limit, trying to be more serious. But I'd like to make one point before we begin. That when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make an attack on a village or a town, he used to send, and sometimes he himself would be there, when they used to want to attack a village or a town, they would go to the outskirts of that town or that village, and they would wait for one of the sha'air of al-Islam, one of the symbols and signs of al-Islam. And that symbol or sign of Islam was the adhan. If they heard the adhan, they wouldn't attack. But if they didn't hear the adhan, they would attack. In other words, if the Muslims leave off the obvious apparent symbols of Islam, and we don't know who you are, you deserve to be attacked like the kuffar. And that's why where I come from, the area that I come from, in Newark, New Jersey, where there's just so many Muslims, and obviously you can tell that they are Muslims, distinguished from everyone else in their dress and otherwise. When a person is attacked on the street, and he or she doesn't look like a Muslim, we don't help. Even if they are, quote, deviant, unquote. Even if they're deviant, they've gone way off the path. If they have the semblance of Islam, then we help. But for those people who we don't know if they're Muslims or not, they don't get any help. So I just want to remind those people who were reminding me to try your best to stick to the Quran and the Sunnah and not make tashabbuh bil kuffar, imitating the kuffar and how we look and how we act. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for that. The talk tonight, inshallah, is death, the consequences of death, the preparation for death. And preparation for death does not mean, even though it's included, we won't mention it, inshallah, the janazah, washing the body, shrouding the body. Even though this is very, very important, every Muslim should know how to wash and shroud the body. Every Muslim. And it's sad that we don't. It's sad that we have made Islam only almost a priesthood, where only a few select individuals know how to wash and shroud the body. It's very sad. And this is something that all of us should learn to do, and how to bury the dead. Tonight we won't be mentioning that. Inshallah, we'll be mentioning those things, reminding ourselves about this inevitable creature called death that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. As he mentions in the Quran, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. It is he, and it's interesting that he, in the inimitability of the Quran, the ijaz of the Quran, the style, the usloob of the Quran, he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentions death first. It is he who created death and life. Not life and death. Death and life. To try you, to see which of you will be best, and he already knows, in conduct, and he is Al-Aziz, and he is Al-Ghafur. So this is what we're going to attempt to do, inshallah, this evening. And there are many ayats, and of course, I'm sure we have at least one hafiz among the men here, which I'm not. I'm a man, of course, but I'm not a hafiz. Here's another joke, laughing. Sorry about that. And all the women. And I would hope, and you've heard me, and no one corrected me, and I'm very sad about that. I have stumbled on some ayat and mixed up some ayat and some hadith. And if you know the ayat, if you know the ayat, then correct me. This is a part of Islam. Correct me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut." Surely every nafs is going to taste death. All of us have heard this ayat before, and the ayat that are similar to this. "Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut." Every single creature is going to taste death. Every soul. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. And only on the day of resurrection will you be given your full compensation. And only on the day of resurrection will you be given your full compensation. Whoever is removed from the fire and admitted to the Jannah, may Allah keep us far away from the fire, protect us from the fire. Ameen. May Allah grant us the Jannah. Ameen. He or she has surely attained success. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And what is the life of this world except the enjoyment of delusion? What is the life of this world? And this is a rhetorical question. What is the life of this world except enjoyment of delusion? And that's all it is. صدق الله. Allah speaks the truth. This life is nothing but sport and play and delusion. Something to make us, take us away from the remembrance of Allah and knowing that the next life is the best life and that this life is only delusion and an illusion. Play and sport, laughter, may Allah forgive us. And it takes us away from those things that are going to benefit us in the next life. So, no human being is spared of this thing called death. No human being. About approximately 5 weeks ago, there was a brother whom I wasn't that close to. Alhamdulillah, he was a Muslim, of course. He was well known in the area that I grew up. Well known for his ability in the martial arts. He was an expert in Aikijitsu. He was a very deadly person. Deadly meaning, you know, he knew what he was doing. He had a nice school, you know, family, alhamdulillah. And everybody, even before Islam, when he was in prison, they feared him. And you have some real rough characters in prisons in the United States. But he was one of those special type of people that he was feared because of his ability. He, just about 5 or 6 weeks ago, died. He didn't die from someone shooting him or someone who was better than him or got to drop on him, as we say, and was able to break him up and kill him. He was in his bathroom. He was in his bathroom making a ghusl. 40 some odd years old. And slipped and fell and bumped his head and died. Just like that. A man who trained for years, had stamina, endurance, coordination. A man who was able to do almost anything to the average guy or two or three or four. Simply slipped in the comfort of his home, in his bathroom, bumped his head on the faucet and died. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every single one of us are going to die. And none of us know when we're going to die. And I'd like to take this time, inshallah, just interject that because we're going to die, we need to be more vigilant on our sins. We need to be more conscious on what we say and what we do. Our sins. It's a small word in English and in Arabic. I don't know how to say it in Turkish or any other language, but in English we know S-I-N. And in Arabic, Aleph, Sa, Neen, Ism, or Zal, Noon, Ba, Zemb. Very small word, three letters, but it's huge, huge on the scale. And I don't think, and I'm absolutely sure, because of what Allah says in the Quran, that most of us don't pay attention to sin and the consequences of sin. And I think we need to just mention this for a few minutes, inshallah, before we talk about death, which is inevitable. Because it's also inevitable that we're going to commit sins, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a narration, if my memory serves me correctly, by Imam al-Tabarani and his Mu'jam al-Kabir. He said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ ذَنْبٌ يَعْتَادُهُ الْفَيْنَةَ بَعْدَ الْفَيْنَةِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's not a slave, a believing slave, male or female, except that they commit a sin once in a while. There's some of us that we commit sins sometimes after Zohar, sometimes before Fajr, sometimes after Isha, sometimes before Maghrib. There's not a slave of Allah that believes in Allah on the last day except that they commit a sin once in a while. And then there's others, لَهُ ذَنْبُ هُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَيْهِ لَا يُفَارِقُهُ حَتَّى يُفَارِقَ الدُّنْيَا. Then there's others who commit sins all the time, probably the minority of us sitting here, standing here listening. There are others among the believers. Allah's Prophet ﷺ still called them believers. Not one, except that he commits sins all the time. And really, I mean, صدق Rasulullah, I believe the Messenger of Allah with all my heart. In the bowels of my soul, I believe everything he says. But when I first heard this hadith, it was difficult for me to believe, and I'm using believe in the loose sense of the word, that a Muslim could commit sins all the time. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all the time. But صدق Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he speaks the truth. So the Prophet continued in this hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ خُلِقَ مُفَتَّنًا تَوَّابًا نَسِيًّا إِذَا ذُكِّرَ ذَكَرَ. He said, surely the believer is created, tried and tested. Repentant and forgetful. Tried and tested, number one. Repenting, number two, and forgetful. So when he or she is given admonition, they are reminded, they remember. So tonight, inshallah, we want to just focus on death, but as a preliminary aspect of focusing on death and the consequences, we want to focus on our sins. As we mentioned the other day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innamal a'malu bil khawatim." Actions are judged by the last thing you do. So we need to be more conscious every day of what we say that harms ourselves, what we say to harm the Muslims, what we do that harms ourselves, tells me our nafs, and what we do to harm the Muslims, and what we do to even harm the non-Muslims who are innocent, you know, for lack of better words, are innocent and haven't done anything. Because sin is extremely serious. And Allah, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, surely Allah forgives all sins, even shirk. I'm not slipping at the tongue. Allah will even forgive shirk if the person repents from their shirk before the ghar-ghara, before the gargling sound, before the soul is taken from their bodies, that death comes, the soul is taken by Malakul Maut, the angel of death, they will even be forgiven for shirk if they abandon the shirk before they die. Allah is most merciful. Allahu Akbar, He's most merciful. And to show this, to really show Allah's mercy, and there's so many narrations. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the authority of Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arzahu, he said, إِنَّ صَاحِبَ الشِّمَالِ لَيَرْفَعُ عَنِ الْعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ لَيَرْفَعُ سِتَّ سَاعَاتٍ عَنِ الْعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ الْمُخْتِرِ إِنْ نَدَمَا وَاسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهَ مِنْهَا أَلْقَاهَا وَإِلَّا كُتِبَتْ وَاحِدَةً. He said, surely صاحب الشمال, the companion on the left, we mentioned the other night, these are not the names of the angels, these are the descriptions. As our Shaykh Omar Al-Ashqar in one of his books, he said, these are not the names of the angels, but they are the qualities and the descriptions of the angels. Raqib and Atid. Raqib writes the right, the good things. Atid writes the bad things. Surely, the angel on the left, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, he lifts the pen from the sinning, believing slave. He lifts, meaning he doesn't write it down. He withholds it for 6 full hours. To show you the mercy of Allah. So we can think about repenting and being remorseful and regretful and think about the ultimate death for 6 full hours. The angel on the left, he keeps the pen lifted and won't write it down. And Al-Hafiz Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi rahmatan wafi'atan alayhi, he said that the scholars of Islam differ on what is the meaning of those 6 hours. Is it the actual 6 hours, or it is what is it what the Arabs, and you Arabs know what I'm talking about, they say that they are sa'atul falakiyya. And the Arabs who you know, you can ask them what it means. We don't have time. Astronomical hours, which in actuality might make it even more than the average 6 hours. You see the mercy of Allah. If you repent, the Prophet continues, and have remorse and regret, and seek the forgiveness of Allah, the angel Al-Taha throws it away. Throws the sin away. But if you don't, then the angel writes it down. And this is something that we need to reflect upon. All these narrations from the Quran and the authentic Sunnah on Allah's forgiveness on us and His mercy on us and His compassion on us. We should think about these things. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, to remind us of our miserable state in this stinking, nefarious, unscrupulous, good for nothing dunya. He said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَأَنَّهُ قَاعِدٌ تَحْتَ الْجَبَلِ يَخَافُ أَنْ يَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ. He said that the true believer looks at his or her sins as though they're قَاعِدٌ تَحْتَ الْجَبَلِ, as though they're sitting at the base of a mountain. That's the way the true believer, and you know who you are, I don't know, and I hope I'm a true believer. The true believer looks at his or her sins as though they're sitting at the base of a mountain. Any of you have been to Mount Rushmore or Mount Uhud or any of these mountains, these great, huge, massive mountains? You see how huge they are, how humongous they are. Can you imagine those mountains are your sins? And you're sitting at the base of the mountain, as Abdul ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu, the true believer looks at themselves as they're sitting at the base of that mountain, and those mountains are the sins, and it's about to fall on them. وَالْفَاجِرْ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَذُبَابْ وَقَعَ عَلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ وَطَالَ بِيَدِهِ فَطَارَىٰ. The sinner, still a believer. The Prophet didn't say he was a kafir. He said fajr. The person who's a fajr or a fasiq is one who knows that they're doing something wrong and they still do it. That's a fajr. Deliberately, amdan, intentionally, they commit sins, they know that it's wrong, they still do it. The fajr, he or she, looks at their sins as though it's a fly that has landed on their nose, and they just take their hand and shoo it like this. And the Arabs know why they call Arabic is a very beautiful language. Very beautiful language. Very meticulous. They know why they call the fly Zubab. Zubab comes from the verb Zubab. It means you push it and it comes back. You push it and you shoot it away and it keeps coming back. That's the meaning of fly, Zubab, from that root. And that's what happens to the sinner. They don't care. Oh, it's no big thing for wearing makeup and lipstick and wearing perfume coming out the house for the women. No big thing. No. No big thing. No big thing for wearing my lower garment for the men below my ankles. Now that hadith, you know, that's only for the people who have pride. That's not me. No big thing for staying at home as a man and not going to the masjid to make salah. Well, after Maghrib Isha, when I have the ability to do so. No big thing. You know, you hear people saying it all the time. I don't want to backbite about so-and-so, but... And then, you know what comes after but. What comes after but is the ghibah. They don't look at their sins like the real believer. They're fearful. The real believer is sitting at the base of that mountain, They don't know what's going to happen, but it's about to fall on them. That's all their sin. And many of us, not many of us, excuse me, all of us have committed sins, and we don't even remember that we did them. Allah says He's going to raise us all up. فَيَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا فَيُنَبِّيهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٌ. Allah is going to resurrect all of us, and He's going to inform us of what we did. He stored it up, while we forgot it. And Allah is over us as a witness. We can't even remember right now, if I was to ask everybody in here, last Thursday, at 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 5 o'clock, what did you eat? 2 weeks ago, last Wednesday, what were you wearing? What color was it? We don't even know. How much more our sins? We've committed things that Allah has stored up. We don't even remember we committed them. And like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place in the Quran, that this book, the book of our records, it doesn't leave anything out. Saghiratan wa la kabira. Doesn't leave anything out. Small or large, every single thing that we've said and we've done is recorded. And then we look at the little sins or the minor sins. And we take them lightly too. Muhaqqarat. Those sins, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wa iyyakum wa muhaqqarat az-zunub. Beware of the minor sins. So it's no big thing. While Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, the things that you take as the size of a hair in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we took them as mubiqat, muhlikat. Those things that are major destructive sins. Now you guys, you take them as something the size of a hair. So we look at the sins, and as some of the Salaf used to say of the past, some of our rightly guided predecessors and the Imams who followed them, they said, لَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَى صِغْرَةِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ وَلَكِنْ انْظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ عَصَيْتَ. Don't look at the size of your sin, a white lie, green lie, purple lie, big. Don't look at the size of it. Don't look at the color of it. But look at the one that you disobeyed. That's what you should be looking at. Don't be worried about the size of it, like the brothers always asking or the sisters always asking, is that major shirk or is that minor shirk? Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, shirk. Beware of all shirk. Don't look at it as being major or minor. Look at all of it, because we're going to die. We're all going to die. There's no guarantee that we, standing and sitting here right now, that this roof, may Allah protect us, is not going to fall on us. There's no guarantee. I know a Muslim in America, no one knew where he was. He'd taken a young lady who wasn't his wife out to commit zina. They went far away. Only after Allah, they were the only two that knew they were out there. They were the only two that knew that they were out there committing zina. You know what happened, brothers and sisters? A plane hit the hotel and killed them. And that's how they found out where they were. A plane. You would never expect that you'd be in a hotel room and a plane is going to hit the building and kill you. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul is going to taste death. And you don't know where you're going to die. You don't know how you're going to die. And that's why the Prophet kept saying in his khutbah al-hajjah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, fear Allah with the fear that Allah wants you to fear Him with. Because if Allah left us to fear Him the way we want it, you know what would happen. We would fear Him just like that, the way we want to. Mediocre fear. Fear Allah with the correct amount of fear, the fear that He wants us to fear Him with, and do not die except as Muslims. Now how do you do that? Because we don't know when we're going to die. How do I die as a Muslim? I die as a Muslim by every day I do what Muslims are supposed to do. I don't allow Allah to catch me in a compromising situation. And many of us have that case. So before we talk about death, we need to talk about sin. We need to discuss our miserable state in this dunya, which is always beckoning us, calling us, making dua to us, to come and commit sins, commit sins, commit sins, commit sins, commit sins. Keep looking at the young lady in her face. Don't lower your gaze. Keep looking. And now go lower, go lower. Keep looking up and down. Keep staring. It's no problem. You're not going to die yet. You're not going to die yet. No, no, no. You're not going to. You're 20 years old. You have a long time. We need to evaluate why we commit sin. Some of the people of the past, they say that the abd of Allah commits sins from two reasons. And Allah knows that. It could be three. It could be four. But these particular ulama of the past, they say that the abd of Allah, Abdullah and Amatullah, he or she commits sins because of two reasons. Brothers and sisters, please listen to these reasons that the scholars of Islam of the past say, the origin of sin. Listen closely. They say, number one, the slave commits sin either because they doubt that their Lord can give them better in the halal, so they do the haram. They doubt that Al-Qahhar, Al-Jabbar, Al-Aziz, Al-Mateen can give them better for doing the halal. They doubt their Lord, so they do the haram. And the second reason the slave commits sins is that they know that their Lord can give them better for doing the halal, but their lust and their passions and their desires and their caprice overpowers them, and then they do the haram. Now what we want to do right now is the hand that's in your heart, not the hand right here like this limb, the hand that's in your heart. Don't raise your hand. The hand that's in your heart, I want you to raise your hand that's in your chest. We don't want to expose ourselves by raising this hand. كُلُّ مِنْ أُمَّتِي مُعَافٍ إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرِينَ. All of my ummah is pardoned and excused except for those who broadcast this sin. We don't want to raise this hand. We want to raise the hand that's in our chest. Are you of the first type or the second type? I'll stop talking for a little while. You just think about it. Which one am I? Am I the one who doubts that Allah, who created the heavens and earth and all that which is in between, can give me better with the halal so I do the haram? Or am I the person who knows that Allah can give me better in the halal and I do the haram because my lust overtakes me? Now that you've thought about it, it's time to do something about it. It's time to do something about it. As Sufyan ibn al-Uyayna radiallahu anhu, he said, من كانت المعصية في الشهوة فرجوا له وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الْمَعْصِيَ فِي الْكِبْرِ فَخْشَى عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ آدَمَ عَصَى رَبَّهُ مُشْتَهِيًا فَغُفِرَ لَهُ وَإِبْلِيسَ مُتَكَبِّرًا فَلُعِنَ. He said, رضي الله تعالى عنه, when you see a person disobeying Allah out of desire, out of lust, then have hope for him. When you see somebody disobeying Allah out of pride and arrogance, and pride, the Prophet explained what it was, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is rejection of truth and contempt of others. That's pride. When you see someone, he said, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, disobeying Allah out of pride, have fear for him, for surely Adam alayhi salam disobeyed his Lord out of desire, following his desires, and he was forgiven. And Iblis disobeyed his Lord out of arrogance, and he was cursed. So we should look at our miserable state, and we should contemplate the result of what we do. The natija of sins is very tumultuous, and death is not the end of our situation. Death is the beginning of our situation. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she reported that in the final illness of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she had near him a can of water, and she kept putting, helping him with his hand to put the water to his face, wiping it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying as he was wiping his face, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti sakra. He said, there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. Verily, death has a state of drunkenness or drunkenness. And after repeating that a number of times, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stretched out his hand and he said, Allahumma ighfirli warhamni wa alhiqni bil rafiqil a'la. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, and let me join the highest company. And we ask Allah to allow us to keep this on our tongue. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Because there's no better way to go out of here. There's no better statement than to have our tongues moist with that statement. La ilaha illallah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed away and his hand fell limp. So the taste of agony, the taste of agony, of the agonies of death, it's going to take a long time to receive. And every single righteous person, every single wicked person, every single human being is going to taste it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're not going to belabor this, because we want to give, inshallah, the account of al-barzakh. And all of us have heard this too many times already. And when I mean too many, I don't mean that it's too many and it's not enough. We haven't heard it enough. And for sake of time, because I promise, inshallah, to be quick, we'll mention it as much as we can in English instead of the Arabic language. And I want you Arab brothers and sisters, or Arabic understanding brothers and sisters, to please to forgive me, because I know that it has more impact on you when you hear it in your language, or the language that you understand, that came from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, I'll try my best to convey it to the best of my ability, so that it will move myself and it will move you. Al-Bara ibn al-Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he's not the only one, but he's the one who's more famous for bringing this hadith of al-Barzakh. And we know that al-Barzakh linguistically is a barrier. It is that thing which is separating one thing from another, al-Barzakh. But the religious meaning of barzakh is that state of being between the dunya and the akhirah. All of us are going to experience it, mu'min and kafir. He reported that they, meaning the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went out with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a funeral of a man from among the Ansar. And when they reached this location of the grave, before it was dug, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down facing the Qibla, and they sat around him, of course quietly, as if afraid to disturb the birds standing on their heads. And this is a very beautiful point in the hadith, because the Sahaba used to sit together, and they used to sit so close together, not like what we do today, not like what we do today, where we sit apart in the masjid, sitting on the walls. And we're not talking about the people who have back problems or leg problems, the infirm, the elderly, or whoever, and they can't sit the way the Sahaba used to sit, but they used to sit so close together that birds used to perch on top of their heads, not even moving, attentive, like little birds in a nest themselves, waiting for the mother bird to drop worms into their mouths, because this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we're waiting attentively, you know, maybe some revelation is going to come, we want to hear what's going on, but this is our life. So the hadith goes on and says that he held in his hand a stick with which he was moving the earth, and he looked towards the sky and then towards the earth, raising and lowering his eyes, and he did this once, twice, three times. And then he said two or three times, seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave. And it's very sad that some of the Muslims today, without mentioning their names, they reject the punishment of the grave. They reject the punishment of the grave, saying, we trust in it, but we don't believe in it. because of the principles of Ahad Hadith, which is not the discussion tonight. But this is very sad. And then he said three times, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the punishment of the grave. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the punishment of the grave. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the punishment of the grave is the most severe of all the events that are going to happen. If you can get past that punishment of the grave successfully, then you've made it home free, as we say in America. You've made it home free. Because that's the most severe of all the events. The hashr, the nushur, the ba'ath, an-nafkh fis-sur, the blowing in the horn, the sirat, the mizan, all of those things. Taking your book in the right, or the left, or behind your back, all of those events, the one in the grave is the most severe. And then he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِذَا كَانَ فِي انْقِطَاعِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَإِقْبَالٍ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزَلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَائِكَةٌ ضِيضُ الْوُجُوهِ كَأَنَّ وُجُوهَهُمُ الشَّمْسُ مَعَهُمْ كَفْنٌ مِنْ أَكْفَانِ الْجَنَّةِ وَحَنُوتٌ مِنْ حَنُوتِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يَجْلِسُ مِنْهُ مُدَّ الْبَصَرِ أو مد البصر أو كما قاله عليه الصلاة والسلام ثم يجيء ملك الموت حتى يجلس عند رأسه فيقول أيتها النفس الطيبة أخرجي إلى مغفرة من الله ورضوان. Verily, when a believing slave is at the point of departure from the worldly life and is about to enter into the next life, angels descend from the heavens. Their faces are white and bright like the sun. They carry with them a shroud from the clothes of Al-Jannah, an embalmment from the fragrance of Al-Jannah. They sit away from him the limit of his eyesight, and the angel of death then arrives, sits by his head, and says, O good and peaceful soul, depart to Allah's forgiveness and pleasure. And we ask Allah to make us be in that situation that angel says that to us. Ameen. May Allah accept it. فَتَخْرُجُ فَتَفِيلُ كَمَا تَفِيلُ الْقَطْرَةُ مِنْ فِيِّ السِّقَاءِ فَيَأْخُذُهَا فَإِذَا أَخَذَهَا لَمْ يَدْعُوهَا فِي يَدِهِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ حَتَّى يَأْخُذُوهَا فَيَجْعَلُوهَا فِي ذَلِكَ السِّقَاءِ.